You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Reen Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, it was a wild, fun, crazy weekend. The Dodgers ended up taking the series, so that's probably for the best.
Yeah, they did lose the last game of the series, and I realized combination of a few things. This is the first time this season that you haven't had to do a solo episode on the night after the Dodgers lost a game.
Ah, yeah, that's true. Opening day and then last week or whatever it was. Yeah. But the good thing is that they did win 2 out of 3, so we got a lot to talk about this week. We'll get into some stuff from the series. We'll get into kind of the atmosphere around the game in stadium and on social media, and then we'll talk a little bit about the umpiring this past weekend and kind of all season. So we got a lot to jump into, but before all that, a quick reminder to follow us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. And when you're in your car or at home, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. Friday's game, one of the more wild games in recent memory, and at least in terms of regular season. Dodgers came out in extra innings after not scoring in 2 extra innings and giving the Padres a chance to walk it off. Then they were able to put up 5 and take game 1. Game 2, pitcher's duel. They ended up eking out a 2-0 win. And then Sunday, Trevor Bauer at Blake Snell. Blake Snell did not make it 6 innings and has not pitched deeper into games. Trevor Bauer did pretty well, but then it kind of fell apart a little bit toward the end with the bullpen. But Jeff, what was the thing that either stood out to you the most, positively, negatively, or what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, you know, Friday's game sucked, and it was awesome, and it was everything in between sucks and awesome. You know, it was 5 hours long. It was basically the Dodgers had no business winning that game. And it was probably their worst played game of the season. And so the fact that they were able to walk away with the win that night, despite playing their worst game of the season against probably the second best team in baseball, that was definitely promising. And then, you know, I think the thing that stood out most to me this weekend was the starting pitching. The Dodgers, you know, for all the talk about the Padres starting pitching, the Dodgers starting pitching is a little bit better. At least a little bit better. It was a little bit better this weekend, and that was, you know, that's without getting to the depth where I think the Dodgers definitely have the advantage. Obviously, Yu Darvish is ridiculously good, but Kershaw matched him pitch for pitch and actually pitched a little bit better than him. And so, you know, all things considered, we went into the weekend hoping for a series win. And I think you and I talked about this last year, what's the most and least satisfying way to win a series. And I think we agreed that winning the first two and then losing the last one is the least satisfying way to win a series. So that, you know, obviously that sucks. But, you know, winning 2 out of 3 is kind of what everybody, sweeping the series was too much to hope for. We hoped for a series win. You know, the Dodgers picked up some ground on the Padres, so now they're 3.5 games up on them. And a series win, regardless of how you get it, is a good thing. And I think for as poorly as the offense played this week, getting a series win against a really good team in the Padres is nothing but positive.
Yeah, I think the big point that you made is the starting pitching. That's kind of where we know the Dodgers starting pitching is good, but you know the Padres' offense has markedly improved over the past few years, probably one of the top 5-10 in baseball. And you know, they other than the Friday night matchup, what was technically a mismatch on paper with Buehler versus a 21-year-old rookie. But as we've seen in the past, sometimes Dodgers against left-handed pitchers that maybe, I mean, Weathers has good stuff. He's just young, and he's pitched against the Dodgers before. He's pitched in the playoffs, so I wasn't, you know, too surprised with what he did. But then, you know, Kershaw, Darvish, technically, if you really thought about it, you could probably say that Padres had the advantage in starting pitching that day. Kershaw proved it wrong and ended up having the cherry on top with being the go-ahead run that ended up would have been the winning run. That's all they needed. And then Sunday, you know, Bauer and Snell. Bauer outpitched Snell. Snell only went five, and even though he only had the two-run home run and nothing else really beyond that, it was good to see the Dodgers, you know, show that on paper that, you know, starting pitching for this weekend and probably for the, you know, for the most part is better. Bullpen wise, it was kind of a wash. The Padres bullpen kind of, you know, ended up giving it away. They were down to the last few guys. And then the Dodgers bullpen, they were resting some guys on Sunday. So when it comes down to how the series went, 2 out of 3, you tell me the Dodgers were to take 2 out of 3, I would have been happy with it. The way it went, happened kind of leaves a little bit of sour taste in your mouth just because they lost the Sunday game, the way they lost the Sunday game. But all in all, a good weekend. And like I said, with the Dodgers offense not really, you know, playing how we know they can be, and maybe part of that or probably a lot of big part of that is Padres pitching. It was good to see them get the wins when they needed and good to see other people hold it down when they needed. And I think other than that, you know, Dodgers defense was a little bit of an adventure this weekend and maybe something to talk about, maybe not today, but in the future.
Yeah. And you also have the fact that Bellinger, Lux, and for the most part, Pollock all missed this series. And so, you know, they're kind of playing with 3 missing starters. I'm not going to pull the Padres route of Padres fans saying the only reason the Dodgers beat the Padres in the playoffs last year was because the Padres are the first team ever to deal with injuries. But, you know, the fact that winning the series with starters missing, with, like you said on Sunday, they used Gratterall fresh off the injured list in a 1-run game, and then they used Alexander and Santana in a tie game. I mean, basically, that's high leverage spots for probably the 3 bottom of the bullpen guys right now. Gratterall, we expect him to be higher up, but first outing of the season. I mean, that's kind of your 3, however many relievers they have. What do they have right now? They have 9 relievers right now. And so that's relievers 7, 8, and 9 that they use in those high leverage situations. And so, it was a good series, and we will take the series win. And enough said. Hopefully it'll be harder to get a series win next weekend because it's a 4-game series. Have to win 3 out of 4, but I think the Dodgers can do it.
Yeah, definitely can do that. One thing, you know, one thing that came away from the weekend is Mookie Betts has a new celebration / you know, cool moment. But I was thinking about it. Do you think if Bellinger's in center field, being a left-hander, having to go across his body, you know, but obviously he's taller and has longer strides, do you think Bellinger catches that ball?
You know, my son and I actually had that conversation that night after the catch. I do think Bellinger probably gets there because Bellinger has ridiculously good jumps, and we've seen a lot of plays where Bellinger doesn't even have to dive, so you don't even realize until you look at the numbers and say, oh, wow, that was that catch only had a 20% catch probability, and he didn't have to dive for it, you know. So I do think he is a little faster than Mookie. Like you said, he has the longer strides. You never can.
He's got about 5 inches on him.
Yeah, he's got 5 inches. And so I think the taller body and the longer arms probably is enough to make up for having the glove on the wrong side of the body. And so I do think Belly probably makes that catch, but Mookie made it look good, and that was not an easy catch.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about how he came up after he caught that ball and a couple other things from the weekend when it comes to contentious points. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. When I looked at these rings by Michelle Fantacci, the ring stood out as one of the ones I'd buy as a gift. It's a conversation piece for sure, so unique, and it's pretty dope. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. if you need to make some money in order to afford these rings, maybe you can put some money into some betting. And BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball's in full swing. You can bet on that. You can bet on the NHL. MLS is back. You can bet on NBA. Plenty of things to bet on, even awards shows, TV shows, reality TV. They got a bunch of stuff on BetOnline. Just go to betonline.ag. They'll have all the real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They got all the news, scores, and odds, whatever you need. You go to betonline.ag, and it's free to sign up. So right now, go to betonline.ag, and if you sign up and put a deposit down, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus after that deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. So that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Jeff. So, Dodgers, Padres has had a lot of hype heading into the season, going into the series, all over the offseason on social media and a little bit in the press, you know, guys just mentioning how the atmosphere was going to be when the Dodgers and Padres play each other. Finally happened, and we saw the benches clear once. We saw some arguing and a feisty Clayton Kershaw on another game. And we just saw some overly hyped emotions on a few levels from a few different players. And obviously, you know, everything else when it comes to in stadium and on social media. But there's a lot to get into, just in the general feeling around these games. So where do you want to talk about and what do you want to bring up first?
Yeah, there is a lot to get into. And, you know, it's kind of funny to me that people, it's almost like it's a battle of who is taking it more seriously. Like, both sides want to insist that it's just another game for us, but look how seriously you're taking it. And, I mean, it's pretty clear the Padres handed out thundersticks to an April game. Like, the only game I've ever been to where they handed out thundersticks was a Angels playoff game in 2014 against the Royals. And, I mean, you don't hand out thundersticks to a meaningless April game. This was a playoff atmosphere at Petco Park. They tried to keep it a Padres only atmosphere, and they weren't extremely successful in that. There were plenty of Dodger fans there, although there were probably a higher percentage of Padre fans than we've ever seen before at a Dodgers Padres game in Petco Park, at least in the last 20 years. But you know, it was definitely a big deal for Padre fans to be playing this series. And I think that atmosphere rubs off on the players, you know, especially after having a season like last year where they didn't get to play in front of fans at all for the most part, to be in a stadium that feels like a playoff atmosphere, even though the players know it's an April game, you feel that. And it's the first time they've felt that in a while, you know, it is going to play off. And so, you know, when Mookie Betts made that catch, I do think that for the most part, Mookie's reaction was, I just won a game. You know, and not like my team just won a game. I personally just won this game for my team. And that is going to be an exciting thing for anybody, especially a guy like Mookie, who takes so much pride in his defense. You know, we saw similar reactions in the NLCS last year, some of his great catches. And this one might have been an even more intense reaction, but this one literally won a game. The other ones were middle of the game. You know, they were great plays and had huge impact, but they didn't end the game. And so I think ending a game with a play like that, even if there's no fans in the stadium, you're going to be pumped. And when you do it in an atmosphere like that, of course you're going to be excited.
So I don't, the Padres didn't, their season ticket holders got first dibs at tickets, and they released some to people that, I don't know, I somehow got an email, so I was able to get tickets directly from the Padres. But I know that they were trying to offer incentives for their fans not to sell. And I want to say that's why they had giveaways all weekend long. They had thundersticks on Friday. They had hoodies on Saturday. And then they had a Padres and Puppies calendar on Sunday. I want to say that's incentive. I didn't see anything else or nothing else came out of what else, you know, they could offer to make people not sell those tickets. But yeah, like you said, I actually got to go to Saturday's game. And it was definitely more Padre fans, and not something I'm used to seeing at Petco, especially when I see the Dodgers there. But it was fun. It was a fun, intense matchup. Like, you know, not quite playoff S, I guess, because of how intense it was. Still a little weird with kind of a empty crowd. But, you know, Padre fans are definitely excited about their team, and you know, there's a lot of back and forth on social media and stuff like that. And I think it's you know, maybe Dodger fans being a little bit. I mean, as we should, they just won the World Series, and Padre fans, you know, they're like, oh, don't you want us to be excited? Yeah, you want to be excited, but, you know, there's a way to get excited about your team, and there's a way to, you know, be what the Padres are doing right now. So there's a lot going on. But, yeah, in terms of on the field, I mean, we saw Bauer, you know, who's already an intense guy, but he had the big chest pumps after striking out Tatis. We had the Santana-Mateo thing on Friday where the benches ended up clearing, then Santana ended up striking out Tatis to end that inning, and he was going crazy. We had the, you know, Kershaw-Profar thing wasn't necessarily, I don't think, really baited into reasoning of the atmosphere. That was just Kershaw pretty perturbed at what Profar did, and rightfully so, I think. And then, yeah, he just had a loud atmosphere the entire weekend, and it was just fun. And that's I think that was my favorite part of the weekend, is that realistically, I don't think these games are going to matter. The Dodgers are going to win the division without having to worry about it. And it's playoff-like atmosphere from players and fans without the full stress of the playoffs. So it was a fun weekend to watch and to be at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, realistically, if the Dodgers can roughly split the season series with the Padres, what that does is knock 19 games off the schedule, give the Padres 19 fewer games to gain any ground on them. And, you know, the Dodgers are the better team. So, yeah, it's, you know, I said it before the series started. I think this series is more important to the Padres than it was to the Dodgers, because the Padres are the chasers. You know, I do want to talk a little bit about the, you know, the Friday night incident with Santana and Mateo. You know, it was basically a non-incident. Like, I don't think either of them wanted to fight each other. It was, you know, I think they're both intense competitors. I think Mateo comes up there thinking, I've got a chance to win this game. So he was upset that he didn't get that chance. He got hit by the pitch. Santana's obviously not thrilled about hitting him. And, you know, it just kind of, they ended up saying a few words to each other. And so the bench is cleared, but it seemed pretty benign to me. The Jerickson Profar thing, you know, Kershaw accurately pointed out that was a swing that resembled the poop of a male cow. And I liked the way Kershaw put it after the game. He said, I don't necessarily think it was intentional, but that wasn't a big league swing. And I do think it was intentional. I think Profar knew he was struck out, and he, you know, it was, I don't know if he went into the at-bat thinking, I'm going to hit Austin Barnes's glove, but whether it was intentional or not, it wasn't a good swing. And I looked in the rules. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, Vince. I tweeted about it. The rules don't define catcher's interference. The rule just says if the catcher interferes with the batter gets first base. And I don't see any way to look at what happened there and actually interpret it as Austin Barnes interfering with Jerickson Profar. You know, so we've just come to accept the fact if the bat hits the catcher's glove, batter gets to go to first base. But I am obviously I'm biased, and I try to every aspect of life recognize my bias and recognize where it might be affecting my judgment. But I think even if the tables were turned here, I would look at that and say, how in the world does a guy get first base for that? That was not catcher's interference. Austin Barnes didn't interfere with anything. If anything, Profar interfered with Barnes's attempt to catch the ball, and he just didn't do a very good job at it because Barnes had already caught the ball because Profar was swinging so late. And so that shouldn't have been called catcher's interference. That's a hill I'm ready to die on. It's an opinion I never had before this weekend. I had never thought about it. But now that I've thought about it and actually read the rule book, it's ridiculous that was called catcher's interference. And when Kershaw came up later in the game with the bases loaded, I so wanted him to just deliberately catcher's interference and get his RBI that way. It was even more satisfying the way he did do it. But yeah, Profar, that's when you just kind of smirk and put your head down. You don't start telling Clayton Kershaw, shut the F up, because A, Kershaw's, you know, 4 inches and 60 pounds bigger than you, and that's not going to go well for you. And B, when you're wrong, you're wrong. Just be wrong and shut your mouth about it. I did like that Max Muncy kind of took charge there. And I don't know if you noticed that, you know, the next guy popped up to end the inning. And so Profar was rounding the bases on the pop-up. And so he ended up running right behind Kershaw when he's coming off the field. And Muncy, instead of hustling into the dugout, Muncy made sure that he positioned himself between Kershaw and Profar, where Profar was going to be, just to make sure there wasn't any more antics, because you know Muncy's not going to take any of that garbage. And it was, yeah, I don't believe in beanballs, but I hope that Jurickson and Profar gets a really bad toothache. That's what I hope.
Yeah, Muncy was the one that diffused or got in front of Santana on Friday as well. Will yep. Smith got to do a better job of that next time. You're the closest one. But either way, yeah, Muncy's kind of become that guy. Even last year with the Padres and the Manny Machado and Gratterall, Muncy was the one, you know, yelling at him and getting back to the dugout. So, yeah, just a fun weekend. And the best part is Dodgers got two games, got a day off, and then we got four more with the Padres. So we could be talking about this same exact kind of scenario next Monday.
Yeah, and we'll have an actual entirely pro-Dodger crowd next weekend. The Padres aren't going to be able to fill Dodger Stadium nearly the way the Dodgers can fill Petco Park.
Yeah, not at all. All right, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about the umpiring that's happened this season and over this past weekend, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. What is the best-tasting protein bar? Well, if you listen to us, you already know what that answer is. It's Built Bar, and Built Bar is truly, honestly, you know, no bias here at all, actually. The best-tasting protein bar, I've never purchased protein bars in my life before. I've always just kind of gotten them somehow or at work or whatever else it is. But these I have actually purchased with my own money, and it's a great benefit. They taste great. They are good for you, and they can handle a wide variety of diets or meal plans or whatever you're trying to get into. They're all covered in chocolate, and who doesn't love chocolate? And they got a bunch of different flavors, and they're always coming out with new flavors and new styles. So go to BuiltBar.com and see what the latest flavors are. But let's just look at one real quick. We'll look at a Cherry Barcia, which is a play on the Jerry Garcia. I'm not sure if it's a play on the actual ice cream by Haagen-Dazs or whoever makes that ice cream. But either way, 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs. Where are you going to get something that looks like a candy bar, tastes like a candy bar, and has all those healthy and great nutrients and ingredients? Built Bar is where it's at. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15, you'll get 15% off your next order. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. Be a waiver wire winner with Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen. Scott uses data and nearly 2 decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, Jeff, I'm sure you have strong opinions on this next topic, and it'll be umpiring. Umpiring was noticeably bad in the entire weekend. I guess the one saving grace, and I know you don't like this, but at least the one saving grace was that it was bad on both sides for the most part. There was a lot of quote-unquote makeup calls, and at the end of the weekend, I don't really know who benefited. Obviously, it wasn't us or the game of baseball. But it's kind of a theme of this year, at least on the Dodger side. I haven't really paid attention too much around the league, but I would imagine it's kind of the same. Umpires not getting better.
Yeah, they're definitely not getting better. We've had a lot of people asking us if this is the worst it's ever been, and I don't know. I think there's definitely some recency bias. But I do know, I went to BYU, and I noticed something about BYU sports fans at like football games and stuff. They have a tendency to blame the refs for things. And so my knee-jerk opposite reaction to that is I try to never blame the umpires or refs for anything in sports. It takes a lot for me to blame them for anything, and I'm not blaming them for anything performance-wise. I'm just identifying that these umpires have sucked. There's a Twitter account, Ump Scorecards, and they grade every umpire every game based on how well did they call pitches in the strike zone, strikes, and pitchers out of the strike zone, pitches out of the strike zone, balls. And I'm looking, and the Dodgers this year, the league average is 94%, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. the Dodgers have had two games this year out of 16 that were 94%. That's their two best games. They've had two where the umpire was average and everything else has been below average, some as low as 88%. And now, you know, average is 94%. Let's think about this in terms of something else. Let's say you were a teacher. Because it's easy to think, oh, 94%, that's really good. That's an A. You know, even 89%, like the Dodgers had the other night, that's a B plus. You know, that's really good. But don't think about it like a student. Think of it as a teacher. If you were teaching school and 94% of the things you taught your students were correct, guess what? Parents would be marching the school with pitchforks saying, hey, stop teaching my kid that 5 plus 5 is 13. And you say, but I taught him that 2 plus 2 is 4. 94% of the things I teach him are correct. Well, you're fired, teacher. You suck at your job. But with umpires, they can just keep on sucking at their job and not get fired. And part of it, I don't know if you know who the president of the umpires union is, Vince. It's Joe West. That tells you all you need to know about whether the umpires union, you know, I'm not going to talk about unions in general. I know that's a hot button topic. I'm saying the umpires union, the Major League Baseball Player, Baseball Umpires Association, whatever it's called, they exist to keep bad umpires in their jobs. And it's ridiculous. We have games where it's 88%. And you mentioned being bad both ways, and you mentioned that I hate that argument. I hate that argument because the only way to actually be evenly bad both ways is either by accident or to know that you suck and make sure, you know, to deliberately make bad calls. Whenever it evens out, that's an accident. If you're a bad umpire, every game it's going to go in favor of one team or the other, not because you're biased, but because one team throws more borderline pitches that you're too crappy of an umpire to call correctly. And so, you know, we've seen it with the Dodgers, and I'm looking through this Twitter account, and this isn't a woe is me, the Dodgers are getting screwed thing. You know, I'm looking, they don't have the report for Phil Cuzzy from Sunday's game yet. It'll show up Monday morning. But Saturday's game, Tom Hallion, 91% overall accuracy and only 88% consistency. So even the crappy zone he established, he couldn't get right. And that one went 0.43 runs in favor of the Padres. Okay, that sucks. The day before, 93% and went slightly in favor of the Dodgers. Day before that, 89%, slightly in favor of the Rockies. Game before that, 93%, slightly in favor of the Dodgers. It's going both ways. But is it so much to add? Like, if we had textbooks at schools that 6% of the facts in the textbooks were wrong, that somebody would say, you know what? We have the ability to do better than this. We have the ability to get the textbooks right 100% of the time. That's what umpires are. They're not part of the game. They are rules enforcement. The strike zone is defined in the rule book. And if we can't get that right because we're set on having some stupid old man with bad eyesight who's partially obscured by a 200-pound human in front of him calling pitches, when we have the technology to get those things right, it's ridiculous. And, you know, robot umps now and forever because home plate umpires have proven that they can't be trusted to be any good at this garbage. That's all I have to say about that, Vince.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, just a short one.
There's not too much to pile on there. I agree, you know, for the most part with everything you said.
And, what do you mean for the most part, Vince?
You know, I'd 100%. Have to go back. You know, I like the cliche. I like the cliche of, you know, makeup calls and stuff like that. If we're going to have these human umpires. I think the funniest part, before the game Saturday, Tom Hallion, it was his 3,500 game. And, you know, I don't know if umpires should be doing 3,500 games. You know, maybe that's a reason of why the issue is what it is. And, yeah, I mean, robot umpires, I think, honestly, you know, I can't see – it's hard to trust Rob Manfred. So, you know, we're probably going to have regular umpires for a while. But I think just so far, I think it's been very prominent this year, at least Dodgers front, and I've seen some other fronts, you know, not getting too deep, but – that it might get, you know, fast tracked, or it might be part of the next CBA or something. Obviously, players aren't really liking it. Pitchers, sometimes like a hitter, sometimes like it, but not collectively, they would probably just rather have the strike zone know exactly where it's at. So, yeah, we've talked about in the past the Dodgers offensively, where if an umpire is calling a certain zone, you know, I'm not a fan of playing what the zone is. You know, sometimes you got to make adjustments when you're at the plate, whether it's for the pitcher or whether whatever else it is. And sometimes you have to make adjustments to the umpire, and it sucks. You obviously have to go outside your realm and outside your zone, but it's a lot better than looking at strike three. And even though it's not strike three, if it's called strike three, you're not helping the team by looking at it. So some of the ones that was happening in the game on Sunday for both sides, Dodgers and Padres, you know, you wouldn't want guys swinging at that pitch, even if it was, you know, called a strike. They're not going to do much with it. It's hard to actually get a barrel on that anyways. So I'm not saying it in this case, but just in the certain cases in the past, that's kind of been my take on everything. But this one, it was just bad, and it was inconsistent bad. You know, sometimes he'd call it, sometimes he wouldn't. Whereas, you know, sometimes there's umpires that call outside, you know, give or take a couple inches every single time. All right, well, maybe you got to open it up a little bit. But this one, you could throw the same pitch in the same spot five straight times, and it might be, you know, two different calls 50% of the time or whatever. That math didn't work out, but if it was six times, 3-3, you know, what is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out, we've only seen 12 different home plate umpires so far this year. Four guys we've had twice, and 12, you know, so 12 total. And so it's possible that throughout the league, things aren't any worse than it's been, and we've just had bad luck. We've had the same umpiring crew for the last two series, and we know that most of them, if not all of them, are bad at calling balls and strikes. So, you know, it might not be worse than usual on the whole as a league, and maybe things will even out and we'll get some of, in fact, if league average really is 94% and we've only had two league average games and everything else has been below, then by definition, we've been getting the crap. And so maybe the good umpires will start coming around LA a little bit more often later in the season.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, Jeff, I know we covered a lot from the weekend. You got anything else before we head into this Mariners series?
Just one last thing. I mentioned last week that Locked On Reds had passed us last week for the top listened baseball podcast on the Locked On Network. I would just like to announce that we took that spot back. Locked On Reds is down to number 3. You know, I appreciate, like, I'm not just saying this. It really means a lot to Vince and me that you guys keep listening to us, keep coming back, and you keep telling your friends. And, you know, there are a lot of good shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, and it means a lot to us that you guys keep listening to this one instead of some of the better ones.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely that. Make sure to follow on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, whatever word your podcast app uses, make sure whatever it is, you're downloading it every day. You know, we are here every Monday through Friday, so why not join us every Monday through Friday? If you don't have a commute, then just listen at home. If you do have a commute, put us on your commute, and you can get your daily baseball Dodger fix every single day. Make sure, like Jeff said, tell your friends and family, continue to do that. Post about us on social media, you know, tag us and answer the question or whatever else it is, or slide in our DMs. We are on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. Make sure to download the Locker Room app. We will be in the Locker Room app on Wednesday, since the Dodgers aren't playing, to talk about the upcoming weekend series with the Padres. So make sure to download the Locker Room app and be ready for that. And other ways to get a hold of us, you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can call or text us at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?